Thank you, Alan. Good morning. It's good to be here with everyone. With Alan's reading on our mind, happy Mother's Day to you all. I hope that we can all see from that reading there that while we aren't all bound to each one of the mothers here this morning genetically, we are certainly all bound in Jesus Christ our Lord, all share the same bloodline. And all of you mean a great deal to many of us. Thank you all for what you mean to us there. Good to have everyone here. Good to have our visitors here with us this morning. This morning's lesson actually got its inspiration from my granddaughter Emma. For those of you who don't know who that might be, it's the little pigtail blonde over here that's made at least one trip to the parking lot this morning to parking lot duty. Nonetheless, I wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts that came from an incident that she helped me with. Sometime back, as she was toddling about, just learning to walk, crawling around and climbing up on stuff, my briefcase was there, and she had toddled over to it and got up, and the zippers were all opened, and I was running through the inventory of what's in there, nothing she could hurt, let her go ahead, and let her mess around in there, wouldn't bother anything. She was intent on dragging something out from the midst of that briefcase. And she worked at it, and I was just snickering about it. And all of a sudden, with one great abrupt rip, came one perfectly and precisely removed sheet from the middle of my Bible. Now, I had taken it to work to do some studying, and I evidently had left the zipper open, and she had reached down in there, and she had one precisely removed sheet of Scripture. Now, it's almost like one of those things where you say you're about to have an accident, and you see your life flash before your eyes. The very first thing I was thinking is, what page was that? Surely and hopefully it was one of the hundreds of pages of additional study materials that are added to my volume. It could easily be some of the history between the Testaments. No, it wasn't that. Surely it's from the majority of the Scriptures in the Old Testament. Maybe it's hopefully from First Chronicles. Right? No. So please, 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 if it's got to be from the New Testament, let it be some obscure and unnecessary sheet from within there, second or third John or anything in Revelation. Right? No, no. What Emma brought to my attention and handed to me with a certain sense of satisfaction from having accomplished what she went in there to do was Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 through chapter 4, verse 11. Now, we won't read all of that today. We did get that reading, part of that reading, in this morning, for us this morning. What I was hoping for us to understand as we look at that is what, in fact, my immediate attitude towards the validity and the sanctity and the integrity of my Bible was from that moment forward. What in the world had just been torn out of there? And indeed, how valid was that? If you scan what had been pulled out of that Bible in one sheet of paper, it talks about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our predicament under the bondages of sin, the grace and mercy of our Father in heaven, the inclusion of the Gentiles in God's plan of salvation, the manner of our walk before God, and finally, the unity of that walk is brethren together. All that is in that passage of Scripture, and very relevant, especially for us among the Gentiles in the Lord's church. Such a practical and necessary, and one single sheet of paper, all of that. And to my estimation, a very precious sheet. It had to be that sheet, right? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of the grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And that piece of paper was handed to me out of the middle of my Bible. And I just want to bring that up because I want to make sure we understand the implications of that omission in our lives. This collection at that moment was very invalid for a time. Now, I doubt that I'm the only one that has such an affinity for my precious Bible. Now, and I hope that that's somewhat the case. It has been a faithful companion and a valued counselor, always consistent and reliable. It is my courage to stand before you this morning, frankly. It stands with me and often against me, frankly, when I'm caught contrary to it. No partiality in my companion here. Stands the same every day. The worn tabs and the oil-stained corners are evidences of the many hours that we spent in consultation and collaboration. And I very much value it. And I was very bummed out at that moment. My once polished sword had a big bite out of its blade. My companion had its front teeth missing. I could never show its smile again. That's the way I was actually feeling at that moment. Now it's been repaired. Painstakingly, I took the time to put it back in, to tape it back in, and you can almost not see where it's at, but there's a side effect. It's very, very beneficial. Every time I flop my Bible open, it opens to that page. Isn't that interesting? So I'm reminded of my beloved granddaughter, and I'm reminded of the passage that she handed me and said, "Here, speak on this, Gramps." What I really is hoping for us to understand, and I want to clarify, by the way, when I speak to you this morning, it is not advisable for us to get too attached to the pages of this binding. We could lose it, we could give it away, we could do anything we wanted to with it. Would I like that to be the case? No. But it is not advisable to get attached to the pages of this binding, but to fall deeply in love with the words contained therein. That's the value. And I want you to fall in love with it from cover to cover. Everything that between what we talked about and what we somewhat lightheartedly talked about we could live without. It's there for a purpose. And it's there for our consideration. This word is the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perfect representation, who is the perfect representation of God the Father, seen in this word and given for us. It's very much, in my estimation, and with what Alan had spoken about, read to us in our hearing this morning, it's our family album. Think about the family albums you've got. What pages would you like to tear out of that? What would we think that we hold within our family album to be non-essential? What generations could we tear out and just throw aside? I don't think very many of us would agree that those things that are precious and somewhat irreplaceable would in fact be things we would like to live without. Right? So let's think about our Bibles, this version or any other one. Let's focus around, turn around, and think about these Bibles. Do, in fact, when we look at these Bibles, do we have the same regard for every page and for every generation and for all that's recorded therein for us? What generations, again, would we do without? When we look at this, I guarantee you that corresponding to that for myself, that there's portions of this Bible that I've virtually overlooked. And I've had too much lack of regard for. I avoid the things that are hard sometimes. The things that aren't convenient. And I think that's what we have to be careful of here. What would our version of this book look like if we tore out everything that we just didn't read? Or didn't think we had any need for? What pages would be torn out of our Bibles? If we indeed had a situation where the pages that we had in our Bible were never exposed to light and they just faded away, which ones would be gone? What would we have with regard to the scriptures to draw upon? As I was holding that page, I was thinking about all those pages that I could have tore out of my Bible that I frankly didn't see necessary. And my Bible would be a lot thinner than it is. But over the course of time, and talking to some of the brethren here, we were talking here a while back about some of the things that I had been negligent on or hadn't taken my time on. We talked, I could really stand to spend some time in the prophets. And one of the brothers said, yeah, I could spend more time in the prophets. But that was for another time. And I don't know, I was probably a young man in the back row there that's here this morning that encouraged me when I got ready to teach the teenage class. I made the fatal mistake of asking what he wanted me to teach, and he said, Daniel. Well, that's all well and good, but Daniel is far cry deeper than just Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. There's a lot of stuff there. And frankly, I guess what I'm trying to share with everybody this morning is that it took me out of my comfort zone. It took me to a part of the scriptures that I hadn't considered to be essential, something that didn't need to be studied, that didn't have relevance to my salvation. Nonetheless, when you get into it and get up to your elbows in it, you find out, well, there is a reason for it to be there, isn't there? And it has a far cry more impact on our lives than just trying to give the lessons that we have to the young people in Vacation Bible School about faith and about God providing for us and establishing our lives in faith in our Lord when we're young. It has a lot to do with seeing the evolution, if you will, of God's plan for us all. So, as we go forward from that, we look at the scriptures and we wonder sometimes why it's all here. Well, we can see God in His creation. We know that that's the case, right? We can see Him in His handiwork. We can see God in His power and deity, as we're told in Romans chapter 1. But it gives us no insight into who God is and with regard to His mercy and to all that God provides for us. His plan of salvation is revealed over the course of time, from the opening of the scriptures to the closing. And it's required of us, in my estimation, for us to have a regard for that. I thought Dan, in his reading last Wednesday night, he was kind of in tune with this a little bit. I told him afterwards, because one of the passages that I had was Psalms 19 here for us to consider. Look in David's time. When David was speaking of the scriptures in his day and time in the Old Testament, he spoke of the virtues of the scriptures, and he talked about them being able to convert the soul, to make wise the simple, to makes the heart rejoice. It enlightens the eyes, and it endures forever. It is true and righteous altogether. It's more desirable than gold and sweeter than honey. All that comes from Psalm chapter 19. He goes on to talk about the value of the scriptures in Psalm 119. And there's some 176 verses there. All about the value of God's word. And you know what's amazing about that? How much of God's word did David have access to? Genesis through maybe Ruth? That's all he had. And he speaks on and on about the virtues and the value of the word of God. So just imagine how much more valuable it should be or could be or ought to be to us. From cover to cover. Revealed for us. Paul talks about it being life-giving. He talks about being comforting it's a source of patience and comfort and hope, all in Romans. He continues on and talks about that all scripture is inspired by God. All of it. Now, God, if He has a hand in the compilation of this binding here, probably has a purpose for it being there. And just because you and I don't understand it doesn't mean that we don't spend some time trying to investigate it. And that's what I'm trying to encourage everyone to do today. Push on past your comfort and go to the place where indeed there is something for us to be extracted and a level of appreciation for us to be gained And in fact, there is an ability for us to get closer to our Father, to understand Him better, and in accordance to His intentions for us. Pushing on through it. He goes on to, we think in terms of the relevance to the Scriptures. We think about the Old Testament being for the Jews, the New Testament being for us. But I concur, or I believe, and I submit to you that the Old Testament and the New Testament are a and the Testament of God, to be thought of as the revelation that He has. There's some very intriguing challenges in the Word of God that we have to keep in mind. Some very intriguing challenges. And there are little subtleties you got to pick up. In the books of Daniel, they talk about those who have understanding will understand things that we have a hard time understanding. Book of Revelation, same way. He who has wisdom, ... There's things we can understand, and I don't. And I hope that inspires us to try more to understand that. We can be victims of a famine of the Word. It happened in the Old Testament. In the book of Amos, when the children of Israel were led into exile, they had a famine. What happened? The prophets went silent and the scrolls were removed and they had no access to God's Word. A famine. It was imposed upon them as part of judgment from God. But it's really sad when we impose that famine on ourselves. We impose a famine on ourselves by simply setting it aside and not delving into it. And what's the result of that? Young people faint for thirst. That's spiritually speaking. That was the result in Amos. Young people who fall and don't rise again spiritually, as we talk about. We can have an unbalanced diet by neglecting portions of the Scripture. Perhaps by ignoring the hard stuff that we've talked about a little bit this morning. Or sticking to the stuff that's, you know, fast food. A little easier to understand. You know, it's kind of like reading the manual to the VCR just enough to get the tape to play and to get it back out again, but not ever come into a total appreciation of all the features and things it'll do. I actually had to read up on our camcorder yesterday. We had it since we took the kids to Jamaica 8 years ago. And I had to read the thing yesterday because Randy was going to be with me. He's going to ask me how it works. True story. Amazing what that thing will do. Because I know he's one of the guys that reads it cover to cover. Now here's the other side of the admonition. How many of you read the thing cover to cover but haven't taken the same effort into this book? Understand that. See, it fits for all of us, doesn't it? Keep in mind, brethren. A quote I want to share with you. I'm going to wrap up here. It is Mother's Day, and I would like for everybody to get to enjoy their mothers this afternoon. Not something I typically do. Take into consideration everyone else. Thank you for this. A quote that I have here says, "Americans revere the Bible, but by and large they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates." You know, wrote that, and I think that he had enough research to justify it. That was George Gallup. Heard of Gallup polls? That was George's assessment of some Gallup polls. How bad is it? Consider the results from some recent surveys. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Many professing Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the disciples. 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. 82% of Americans believe "God helps those who help themselves" is a Bible verse. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. Now that's funny to us, isn't it? Finally, a considerable number of respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Think about that. Some serious pages missing out of some people's reading, isn't there? Biblical literacy is a poison. We won't go into all this. I don't have to tell you what's going on in our society around us. I hope you all scratch your head when you look around us and see things happening the way they're happening. I believe we're extremely blessed here in this congregation because there are too many that have a lack of teachers that'll spend any time at all to try to understand the Scriptures. But what I want to leave here with this morning is for everybody to have an appreciation for the book that they've got in front of them. I want you to challenge yourself to the far corners of it where you haven't spent any time, or where you won't spend any time, or where it's hard. Well, where do I start? Well, you start any place you want to. But I would go to the place where the pages don't come across, come fall apart when you flip your Bible. Those are big chunks that are still stuck together. Start there, brethren. Challenge yourself. There's a lot of good resources. There's a lot of people that'll help you with the right resources. And you'll be better for it. We'll all be better for it. Men who are up here in my position, let's man up. Let's speak it from within the pages of this book. Let's be there for one another. Let's be there. Let's, parents, there's a lot of good bedtime stories in here. Might have to edit them a little bit. But there's a lot of good bedtime stories in here. There's a lot that we can do. And I won't go there, but I will, in fact, encourage everyone here to take advantage of whatever opportunities. When somebody opens up the Bible or offers up, these elders put together a great opportunity for us to feed upon this Word from corner to corner. It may take us a long time to get there sometimes, but they do. And it's to our benefit to take advantage of those opportunities. You've all been patient, and I'm going to just wrap it up. I want to stop with one more passage from that page that was torn out of my Bible. The very first two verses. And he put all things in subjection under his feet. That is God for context. God has put all things in subjection under Christ's feet. And gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Again, I would hate to be missing that passage from my Bible. He has put all things in subjection under his feet. The fullness of all of it dwells in Christ. His body. What I would like to offer here this morning, on behalf of this congregation, on behalf of all of us here, and certainly and mostly, on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the opportunity for us to recognize that these passages that have been read in your hearing this morning are intended for you. They're intended for you. He intends for you to be part of His body. He intends for you to take advantage of the opportunities that are before us, the hope that is ours, and the sacrifices that have been made are. It's all in Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to confess our sins before man, to come forward and to confess that we have sinned and to put our faith in Him. And as a result, to receive baptism as a demonstration of our faith and to walk from this point forward with the benefits and privileges that come as a member of the body of Christ. And we hope you'll take advantage of that this morning as we stand and sing the song that Gerald selected for us.